All right. Well, it was a good week. You know, it was a challenging week. It was a hard week. Let's welcome back. It was a hard week for him. So this is, I have determined a name. It's Brian Bones. Right? With the help with Jesse, we came up with the name. And so just to identify how hard the week was, like when I came up here last week, he was put together. He was great. The challenge became, though, is he ran into Mari. Okay? And so when I took him out and I saw him, his jaw now is down to his chest. We're going to pray for him now. But he's okay, and his arm is off. He's got a broken arm, but we're going to... This is going to be a part of our message today. We're going to use this. This is actually a really good thing. Okay? This is really great. So we want to leave him here. We got his arm, and he's together, and he's set up really, really well. Let's move you over here. All right? And so we have some bandages. We're going to get him fixed up. All right? Everybody with it? Oh, my gosh. I just don't care about people, I see. Like, this means a lot, right? So we're going to leave that there. But in all good fun, we are in our second week of a series titled Join Together. And this is based on what Paul said in Ephesians to the church at Ephesus about what every joint supplies. And we started to learn and to understand what the joints actually do in the human body, because Paul uses that as a metaphor to describing the body of Christ and how we are connected relationally to one another. And so when Paul is writing this to the church at Ephesus, he is talking about the gifted servants of the fivefold ministers, because there are five of them. And it's the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. They are given to the body of Christ for the following reasons: to equip the members of the body for the work of service or ministry, and for their building up or edification of the body. In short, we are talking about two main things: unity and maturity. And if this goal is reached, then there are some expected results found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. First, we will no longer be children. We will not be tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and their craftiness in deceitful scheming, but rather, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, which causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. We learned last week that healthy joints supply something to the joining and holding together of the body, while proper working of each individual member contributes something to the joint. Paul goes on to say this: we are one body, but many members, and all the members of the body are equally and needed and honorable. And to work and to help this honorableness, we used a word last week called rapport. Rapport is a relationship of mutual understanding or trust and agreement between people. The joints fit and hold the body together. They facilitate unity or rapport. Joints fit and hold the body together. They facilitate unity. Relationships facilitate rapport in the body of Christ. Mutual understanding and trust and agreement between the saints for the purpose of fitting together, holding together, and building up the local church in love. Relationships supply the resources for rapport or unity. So we are talking about relationship, resource, rapport. And again, this relationship, resource, rapport is the mutual understanding, trust, or agreement between brothers and sisters in the body of Christ that supplied the relationship between them. And this, of course, is a product of agape love, acceptance and support. And another psychological word that we could use is attachment. It's attachment. So when we look at a human body, it's attached together outside of my man's arm. But everything else is attached together. So as we look at this word attachment, the joints or relationships provide attachment, support, and unity. When relationships are healthy, all things being equal, the church builds itself up in the sphere or in the context of love. So let's get to moving on into this week. It's not only the joints, as we talked about a little bit last week, we kind of delved into this, but we got out of it real quick. The joint structures that supply something to unity and maturity of the body. Paul talks about this. We mentioned it last week in Colossians 2 and 19. He says, "And not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments grows with a growth which is from God." The word joints is the same Greek word that is used in Ephesians 4 and 16, as we learned last week, which means the touching points. The joints are the touching points within the body that what bones are connected. But the word ligament refers to the band or the bonds that ties the joints together. Again, we're talking about the structural aspect that joints need. The joints are where the bones meet, but there are also connective tissues that hold the joints together. This includes cartilage, tendons, and ligaments. Joints are so important to the human body that God created a whole system to support them. Relationships are so important to the body of Christ that God has built a whole system to support them. Remember last week how we said that what? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. So much so that God has built in the system of everything that we'll need, both in our human body, but also in the relational body of Christ. So let's begin to define and start. Let's start with ligaments and then let's define what they are. So ligaments are a tough, fibrous band of connective tissues that connect bones to other bones and help hold organs in place. They are composed of a fibrous bundle of collagenous fibers, spiral-shaped cells that are known as fibrocytes. In Colossians 3:14, Paul says this, "Beyond all things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." The word bond in the same Greek word is translated as ligaments. So God, again, knew everything that he was doing. There's nothing missing, nothing lacking with him. In Colossians 2:19, so coincidentally or consequently, love is the perfect ligament of unity. Love is the perfect bond of unity. Love holds relationships together. It's love. That is the connective tissue that holds us and binds us all together. Now, most of you, some of you may or may not know my wife, Stacy. We have been married for 19 years. And I would tell you, for 18 of those years, it's been a blessing for her. Amen. It has been for me too, I think. No, it has been, right? But what keeps us together is not because we're agreeing on every single thing. It's not that we're agreeing on how we want to do this or do that, right? It's not. It's the connective tissue is love. That's what keeps us together. That's what holds us in place as husband and as wife to one another. So the statement of love holds relationship together is not an earth-shattering statement, because we have trivialized love. We say love and we insert love on each and everything, because we look at love through the Western civilization or the Western eyes that we have. So when we read the word love, we think about doing. That's the thought that comes to our mind first as we think about doing. According to neo-theologist Jim Wilder in his book, Renovated, God, Dallas Willard, and the Church That Transformed, A better word is attachment, which is the love of God, which is the agape. It's attachment. Chris Corsi, in his book, Transforming Fellowship, the 19 Skills That Build Joyful Community, he calls this sticky love. Sticky love. We talk about attachment, we're talking about a sticky type of love. Healthy attachment, which we should have developed with our mothers in the first year of our lives and with our mothers and our fathers in the first 3 years of our life, can be received as a remedy through a healthy relationship with another person or another group. And we'll talk about that a little bit more, this really connectiveness that a mother and a child has, especially within the first year of life. Damaged attachment can only be repaired with healthy attachment in relationship, not by oneself. So here's the thing, I can't go and fix or bring health to myself. Remember, I talked about this last week. There's a song, and Brian said he knew the song where, hey, I need you and you need me. I need you to survive. So I can't be the best of who God has called me to be without Stacy, without Brian, without the coaches on my coaching staff. I can't be the best of who God has called me to be. So if I am damaged, I can only be repaired with a healthy attachment in relationship and not by myself or oneself. Then that sticky love will bind us together like super glue. Without super glue of healthy attachment love, we break apart when tough things happen. We break apart when tough things happen if we don't have the sticky love of attachment. Something happens and, hey man, Stacy didn't do this, because we all know that it's Stacy's fault if something goes wrong. Amen. Somebody's like, no. They are telling the truth. But if every time something happened or something crumbled and it broke us apart and there was no attachment of sticky love, where would we be? Another structure that supports the joint is the cartilage. Cartilage is a strong, whitish connective tissue. There are three types of cartilage in the body, but we won't talk about those three parts. But what I will tell you is that cartilage does everything from helping your joints move smoothly by absorbing impacts. However, one of the effects of cartilage is to act as a shock absorber to the movable joints. My question to you this morning is this: what acts as a shock absorber to relationships in the body of Christ? We just read how, man, if there's a damage in attachment, the only thing that can bring it back is a healthy attachment. But if there's not an attachment and a health of sticky love that's attaching us, the moment something happens in a relationship, it's going to break away. So we need shock absorbers. I think of two shock absorbers. One is love and the other is forgiveness. When we talk about relationships, the shock absorbers that serve as cartilage within the body of Christ relationally is love and forgiveness. Relationships are going to encounter episodes of shock, as when the knee absorbs the shock of stepping off of the curb. Relationships are shocked when love is betrayed, when trust is broken, when misunderstanding occurs. There's a shock in relationship. A shock is going to happen. If I were to jump off this stage, there's going to be a shock to my body. And I could fall, but I'm not, because I'm an athlete. Athletes don't do that type of stuff. But there's going to be a shock. So when something happens in the midst of your relationship, it shocks you. It shocks the relationship. But what can reel us back in and what the shock absorbers are is love and forgiveness. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins or a multitude of faults. Love hides and covers a multitude of sin like cartilage covers the ends of a multitude of bones, helping the joints to move smoothly and absorb the relational shock of negative and potentially damaging impacts. Thank God for fervent love, amen? Maybe, just maybe, what is going to be developing, what we're going to recognize within myself, because I have to recognize this as well. Maybe I'm not fully operating in fervent love. Maybe I'm not. The Greek word translated fervent, according to the lexicon, means unceasing. We must have unceasing love to be permanently bonded or glued together. That is fervent love. It's easy for me to have fervent love for Stacy and our six children, for my parents. But how do I have fervent love with a brother or a sister in the body of Christ who I feel has offended me? It's easy. We go back to the Word of God. And we go back to what it says in 1 Peter 4 and 8. Above all, above your disappointment, above your distrust, above your offense, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of faults. See, we have to realize, people in the body of Christ, that we're actually here to help to cover one another. We're not here to put each other on blast. We're not here to expose one another before a crowd of people. We're actually here to cover one another in love. Forgiveness is also a shock absorber for us. Luke 17, 3 and 4 says this: be on your guard, for if your brother or your sister sins, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. And if they sin against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, then forgive them. Now, here's what it's not saying. God is not saying that, hey, I know it's going to be hard to do that, but he just says, just do this. No matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult it may be. Why? Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He's given us the example of the human body and the structure of it. And now he's saying, hey, go and apply that into the body of Christ. Because he is the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. Forgiveness makes relationships slippery enough to easily move over the relational shock of transgressions. I believe forgiveness is as much a gift from God as a human work. To forgive, we are going to need to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit later. Let's move on to the other thing that supports the joints, and it's the tendons. Tendons are strong, flexible cords of tissue that connect muscles to bones. They work as levers to move your bones and your muscles contract and expand. Tendons are not directly a part of the articular joints, but they play a critical role in joint function. They are attached to members or bones and muscles around the joints, and they help to facilitate movement. So, what members in the body of Christ facilitate movement of the members? Well, it's what we started off with. It is the fivefold ministry. It is the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. They help people stay glued together so the body of Christ can move in alignment and as a collective. The next part of the joints is not something mentioned by Paul, But we know of their existence through science, and we are talking about nerves. A nerve is a cable-like structure within the body designed to conduct nerve impulses that relay information from one part of the body to another. The nerves travel from brain to joint, and nerves travel from joint to brain. There is a two-way communication going on, a two-way communication. Our relationships are fitted and held together by the communication that comes from God through His Word, through His Spirit, verbal and nonverbal communication, and the experiences with His people. Now, if we think about nonverbal communication, neuroscientists say the most of the communication between a baby and his mother in the first year is nonverbal. Nonverbal. When my children were growing up in that first year, I didn't have the type of communication when that Stacy did. And I'm going to tell you, you husbands and you fathers, don't be jealous of that. Encourage that. Because there's a way that the mother can look at that baby, and there's a way that baby can look back at a mother that lets that mother and that baby know everything that they need to know about one another. Mothers, am I wrong? I see one head saying, you're right. Am I wrong, mothers? No. There's a communication there, non-verbally, that as fathers we don't have, that we have to learn. This is why a baby learns how to conduct themselves or how to communicate with a mother and a father within the first 3 years. But the beginning always starts with that mother and picking up those nonverbal cues and nonverbal signs. It is the ability to read each other's faces and process that effective information. We have had a great deal of teaching and preaching about God communicating to us through His Word and through the Bible. We have had far less teaching about the communication that we receive from the Holy Spirit through the illumination of His Word, through the manifestation of the Spirit and of dreams. And I know that can be a little bit like, I don't know, but man, that is another way that God is going to communicate with us. It's going to be through His Word. It's going to be through that direct communication in prayer, but it is also going to be through the Holy Spirit. Some of those times when you're trying to walk into something, you're like, man, something just doesn't feel right. Or I feel as if. And you start to feel it down in this area. Well, that's where the Spirit lives and dwells. It's within you. Don't ignore that. Begin to pray into that. Begin to ask God for direction. Begin to communicate back to Him, because He's communicating with you through the Holy Spirit. We must teach on the importance of community and healthy attachment to people in the context of maturity and growth. But this is one of the only ways that we can grow. We cannot grow alone or only in relationship with God. Let me say that one more time. We cannot grow alone, and we just can't grow in our relationship only with God. God gives us one another. God gives the body of Christ. God gives us to one another for a reason, and that reason is for growth. Even the ones that get on your nerves, even the ones that upset you, even the ones that you feel offends you, even the ones that you feel like is doing you so wrong, even the ones that have transgressed against you that you no longer trust, thank you, God, for them. Why? Because it leads to my growth. It leads to my growth. I would love to be able to stand up here and tell you that once you become a believer that things get that much easier, but actually it gets a little bit harder. Because now you're really having to transform how you think about, how you interact, and how you respond to people when they do something wrong to you. And guess what? There are going to be people that continue to do wrong things to you no matter how much you pray, No matter how much you love them well. Almost a month ago now, something happened to me, man, and I was fired up about it. I had someone talk to me in such a way, he might as well have called me boy. And saying that to a black man don't really go well if you don't know, so don't practice that. And I remember, man, it was, hey, this was a God thing, because the next day, who was I meeting with? Was my brother, Pastor Brian. And I told Pastor Brian, I said, man, I felt like Nehemiah, like I could put my hands on him and it would be all right with the Lord. And Brian laughed just like you all did. He said, man, thank God you ain't put your hands on him. But he began to show me how, Kim, what I've learned is, it's even those people that I got to praise God for. Because what it's growing on the inside of me, it's growing a deeper appreciation for that individual. Why? Because it's growth. I'm growing. Meaning that I'm not handling things or responding to things the way I used to respond to them when I was in the world. Meaning that I'm not allowing my carnality of the flesh to control my behavior and my outcomes. But I'm able to be still, and I'm able to study myself in order to be quiet. So my response is a lot different from my reaction. My reaction is going to be more emotional. My response is going to be more processed and thought out. 1 John 4 and 20:21 says this: if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he or she is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother or his sister whom he has seen cannot love God who he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, to do what? To love our neighbors as ourselves. Not just the ones who treat you right. Not just the ones who make you feel good. Not just the ones who validate you as being this great individual. Even the one who does you wrong and commits transgressions to you as you see it. That the one who loves God should love his brother or sister also. Agape love, or healthy attachment love, requires both a love of God and a love of God's people. See, at Garden City, this is kind of our mantra. This is our North Star. This is our direction. What do we say? We say love God, love others, love self, and love creation. Like, this is just not something that we say to make ourselves feel good. This is biblical. This is a way of being for us. This is a way of living for us. This is a way of worship for us. So here's what we all have to stop doing. I don't want to include you in my stuff. Let me just say what Coach Kemp needs to stop doing. I need to stop having criteria for my love. I really need to get into what he's saying and describing here when it comes to being joined together with not only our joints of what every joint supplies, but also the structures that those joints help to make them move and function. Unity and maturity is also facilitated by communication from God and communication to God. So prayer is important to the joining and holding together of relationships. When we talk to God and listen to God, this will help us to stay glued together. Now, here's what I know, and I just know this because I talk to a lot of older people. Amen? And I'm starting to learn this now that I'm getting older, but I ain't old. Yeah, you can clap for that. Whoever clap, praise the Lord. Now, joints can be damaged through shock, deterioration, and biological changes. When joints are damaged and not working properly, they cannot healthily contribute to the joining and holding together of the body. Again, I have not done a lot of reading on arthritis. And sometimes it appears that arthritis comes from damage rather than aging. Nevertheless, joints can be affected by anything that damages your bones or connective tissue, including arthritis, tendonitis, bursitis, okay? All these different things. That's what causes the deterioration. Arthritis is a swelling and tenderness of one or more joints. The main symptoms of arthritis are joint pain and stiffness, which typically worsens with age. The most common types are osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. When members have no biblical identity, they swell and are tender to the damage from other members. When members have no biblical identity, we talk about that a lot here at Garden City. When members have no biblical identity, they swell and they are tender to the damage from other members. Bursitis is a painful condition that affects the small fluid-filled sacs that are called bursae that cushion bones, tendons, and muscles near your joints. The most common locations of this in your shoulder, your elbow, your hip. When members must interact often, and this is what this is. This is how this develops. When you have to overuse, you see it in baseball players, quarterbacks, because they're always using their shoulders and their elbows. So when members must interact often, they can be relational bursitis. The parts and the mechanism that should cushion our relationships become swollen and painful, and we stop interacting and healthily relating to one another. This is what happens. We interact often. We're coming together. These things, and then something happens again that breaks something. There's no cushion. Now that cushion is now overworked, overused, overdamaged. And these relationships become swollen and painful. And then we just stop interacting. And we don't do it from a healthy perspective, but it becomes now unhealthy. Tendonitis is the inflammation of thick fibrous cords that attach muscle to bone. These cords are called tendons. The condition causes pain and tenderness just outside the joint. Our attachment can be damaged, and this takes some of the stickiness out of sticky love. When our love loses its stickiness, we want to blame others rather than to attend to the pain and the dysfunction that is reducing our interaction. It's not generally the other person who is the problem, but the relationship. It can be the other person, but that's up to God and that's not up to us. And those are things that we have to begin to think about and consider in the body of Christ as we continue to grow relationally to one another. Band, come on back up. We don't want to lose that attachment or that sticky love that God has given us. I know at times I do. I want to blame others rather than attending to the pain because it's easy to outsource my blame and my responsibility. It's easy for me to do that. It's easy for me to say, hey, man, it's Stacy's fault. Or it's easy for me to say, man, it's the church's fault. Well, the church did this. The church allowed this to happen to me. We've even given people words that we find that it soothes them. We give terminology like church hurt. And that makes us feel better because it's not really me, but it's what the church did to me. And we outsource it back to the church. Here's why I'll tell you, man. It's very, very interesting, but maybe even controversial. I can remember growing up, and even as I got older, and even the church that I was at that birthed me out in the spirit. If there was something that happened in the church, whether it was between a member or I felt that the pastor or a leader might have said something to me in a way that offended me. We wasn't encouraged just not to come to church anymore. We was encouraged to really follow what it says in Matthew 18. And to go and approach people because, see, that sticky love, that attachment is what keeps us bound together in the body of Christ. And what we didn't want to see was, we didn't want to see somebody run out and leave. And leave the relationship. And go try to find safety at another church. And then take that same spirit that never got settled with and dealt with in that church, they go and move it to another church. Now I'm talking about spiritual things now. And so I take that hurt, I take that wounding, I take that damage into another healthy environment and a situation. And what I'm looking for that church to do is to fix my damaged situation. When God has given you everything that you need to repair the damage that you have. And it's not always going to happen at the other church because the other church don't know that damage. And don't ask that church to get involved in that damage because now you're pulling someone else into your situation. All of our relationships are going to go through hurt and trials and pains. Trust is going to be broken. Misunderstandings are going to happen. But let's remember those shock absorbers. Let's remember love and forgiveness. Not just any love, but the agape, the attachment, that sticky love that causes us, even in the midst of all these things, that we stick together with one another. And we're not afraid to have the hard conversation. I'm sure I speak for Brian when I say, man, if I've said or we've done anything here in leadership that has hurt you or offended you, please let us know. Because we don't want to damage that relationship. We don't want any relationship to be damaged. But let's talk about it. Let's meet each other in that space. Amen? Because that's what he has given us to do that for. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the agape, for this attachment, sticky love that you have given us for one another. Because first, you modeled that for us. That even in our damage, you loved and forgave us anyway. And you sent us Jesus, who is the embodiment of the agape love of God. So I just pray right now over us, Father God, that as we hear your words and your teaching, Father God, I pray that it hits some of the joints within us. That it divides the marrow and all the things, because the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So pierce us, Lord. Pierce us in that place that it might repair and restore us to those healthy attachments. To you and to one another in the body of Christ. I pray all this in the name of Jesus, who is the risen Son of God, who is our great shepherd and the bishop of our souls. And all of your people said, Amen.